Hello, it is Tuesday, December 15th. Aaron Rodgers Tuesday, December 15th. But it's not just Aaron Rodgers today. No. Yeah, we have an incredible conversation with a man that's probably going to win the MVP. But we also got Big Bob Tonyan.
Bobby Tonyan.
Great convo.
Awesome.
Did not expect that conversation to go the way it went.
No, not at all.
And also Chuck Robinson of Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad little Tuesday. We can't thank you enough for choosing to join us. If you enjoy the show, and at the end of it, you just get the urge, you know, go ahead and be a friend, tell a friend about it.
Yeah, pretty simple.
Hey, you should subscribe to Pat McAfee Show 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Rate and review, too.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like the show, don't do any of that.
No.
Don't tell anybody about it. Just act like it never happened. Don't rate, don't review, don't do anything.
Keep your head down, keep moving.
Well, or keep your head up. Just know that we probably don't like you either.
Yeah, true.
And that's going to happen in this world.
That's life.
That's life, baby. Hey. That's life, baby.
That's
what it is. I thought there was going to be something incredibly deep there. There was not. But this conversation touches on some deep stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Rodgers Tuesday, December 15th. Let's get to it. Not only is Aaron Rodgers on the show today, can't wait to chat with him in a few hours, but also we got Charles Robinson of Yahoo. Ooh. He has not tweeted in about 6 months. Cannot wait to hear what's been cooking in his world and also of the Green Bay Packers. Big Bob Tonyan
will be joining us
in about an hour or so to chit-chat about all things happening in Green Bay and his emergence into superstardom this year as a Indiana State tight end for the Green Bay Packers, who are currently ranked number 2 in the NFL power rankings, which we will talk about as the show goes on. And also what we have to chat about is last night, the most electrifying game of the season thus far. The AFC North showed up on Monday Night Football. The Ravens inevitably win by 5, which means they cover due to a hook and lateral, also known as a hook and ladder safety at the very end of the game. But nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about the fact that if Lamar Jackson spikes the ball with 5 seconds left on the clock, which is the number you should do, because field goals, there's a rule made 5 years ago, 6 years ago, seven, whatever it is, in recent history, less than 10 years, you get it. That for every field goal, because the home clock operator used to fucking, you know, kind of fidget a little bit, 5 seconds will be run off the clock every single time a field goal is kicked at the end of the game. So that's why you'll see a lot of teams either call timeout at 5 seconds or 3 seconds, some coaches do, because they still haven't gotten the hint that 5 seconds is going to run off no matter what. Quarterbacks spike it at 5 seconds. Him spiking it at 7 seconds, as soon as he did that, I go, oh shit, they're going to have to kick off now. Justin Tucker buries that 55-yarder. It started fading and drifting a little bit because the wind was crossed, but there wasn't a single doubt in anybody's mind. But then as soon as you see him kick off, it becomes a touchback. You know the hook and ladder's coming. And for those who hammered the Ravens, -3, they knew that there was a chance on one of those throwbacks there's going to be a pick six, possibly. They were either going to pick up 6 points, or maybe they continue to run backwards and get to safety. That's what happens. Baltimore covers -3 against the Browns in Cleveland in front of what sounded like a packed house. And obviously, the Browns prove that they're not the same old Brownies. I know all of Pittsburgh wants to go ahead and bury him, but I think the team that we saw last night out of Cleveland is one missing Odell Beckham Jr. There's also some other people out. In first year, Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry as general manager. That was a fucking hell of a ball game, and they are still very much in the playoff conversation. Good for them. Big win for the Baltimore Ravens, though, because there was a lot of questions around whether or not that team gave a single fuck about themselves. Last year, they were a completely different team than they have been this year. Losing games, not showing up. Harbaugh almost fought an entire squad on the logo at one point. The team was leaking information via Twitter accounts and interviews that seemed as if it was a bit negative. Last night, it looked like last year's Baltimore Ravens. Now, does that mean Lamar Jackson looked like Lamar Jackson? Yes, but also the defense. McPhee was making plays. Judon was all over the place. The squad seemed to be hyped and enjoy the hell out of themselves. If that Baltimore Ravens team can show up every single week, I think people will worry about the Ravens in the playoffs. The thing about it, though, is the 2020 Ravens have been very gumpy. What's the word? Fickle. Fickle is the word. We don't know what they're going to do, but if they are the team they were last night, good luck to them going through the playoffs, because they might actually get a win this year in the playoffs. That team was awesome to watch. Browns, same goddamn thing. Shout out to Monday Night Football for being electric. Let's have a Tuesday, December 15th. Diggs, AFC North, Pittsburgh Steelers, sucking. Browns and Ravens put on an absolute clinic last night. How do you feel about the game?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not the same old Browns, except for the fact that they still can't beat the Ravens, and Baker threw almost a pick six, and and couldn't stop Lamar.
That was in the second half, by the way.
When he was
that...
wearing sandals. So, yeah, besides those things, not the same old Brownies.
Lamar comes in. Obviously, the big moment of the night is when Lamar goes back because he had a cramp in his arm. Okay, a lot of people alluded to the fact that maybe he had to take a shit or two.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, maybe he did. Because if you watch him jog, it would be the type of jog that you would have if you had the Bee Gees. You know, a little bit of bubble guts. And you're in Cleveland. You never know what he could potentially got into the night before.
True.
But there is a chance that we thought he was taking a shit while he's jogging back there. Turns out he said, y'all tripping. I definitely wasn't taking a shit. But he had a cramp in his arm, which is interesting. I don't even know what that means. I don't know how that works. Now, granted, anytime I go to throw a ball right now, especially with my age, my shoulder feels like it's ripping out of place and my elbow does. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever gotten a cramp in my arm. They put some IVs on him. He comes out of the cave like Jesus at the two-minute drill or at the two-minute warning for that fourth down, roll right. Everybody on earth thought he was going to run it, drop to Marquise, touchdown. Then J.K. Dobbins runs in two-point conversion, and everybody wanted to talk about Sendejo, the safety for the Browns coming downhill and hitting J.K. Dobbins, who just ran over Sendejo to get a two-point conversion in less than 2 minutes left in a goddamn game in the AFC North Division, basically on the line there for second place. I mean, that was a big play, but instead we're talking about the goddamn safety that got run over. A lot of questionable commentary last night. I think we can say that, but I feel like I'm not even going to say, I like them all. I like them all, good people, but the way they display a game is an interesting choice. I love that game though, Connor. And with the Ravens getting that big win, basically says Bill Belichick's fucking on that boat that he's with his girlfriend on much earlier than in years past.
I mean, we can't go that far yet.
Nah, Pat. Patriots are dead.
Well, think about this.
They're not even in the hunt anymore. The graphic, we made a graphic. They got graphics.
No.
Everybody's got graphics. Mm-hmm. The AFC playoff picture, sons of bitches aren't even in the hunt
anymore.
Yeah, they don't even got a license to hunt.
No,
they don't even got a license to hunt. No tags.
No.
No tags.
What we have to consider is Minshew Mania coming back for the Jags and going on to beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens next week. You can't rule that out, Pat.
I will, because I watched him play in the second half against the Titans last week, and he stunk.
Whoa.
That Jacksonville Jaguars team is not good at football right now.
Let him right down.
They are in full Shad Khan pool paradise. We got the number two pick. How do we do it? Let's keep it moving. At Ty Schmidt, Aaron Rodgers Tuesday. The Green Bay Packers are ranked number two in the NFL power rank.
Yeah. Congrats, boys.
Woo! Way to go, Green Bay.
Congrats, boys.
I know you guys are out there playing for each other, but you got to feel good that the people that put together power rankings on TV have you at number two now, huh? We'll ask Aaron and Big Bob Tonyan about that, but I'm excited for today to learn a little bit about Big Bob, as well as, obviously, an insightful conversation with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Tuesdays with Aaron are obviously always great. Got a game on Saturday this week, which I'm very excited for.
Oh, doubleheader Saturday.
Yeah, they got the old nightcap in the Saturday doubleheader. But, yeah, you're right, because I don't think I've seen Big Bubby Tonyan do, like, any media. So I'm very excited to hear what he sounds like.
I would assume he's entertaining, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I would assume he's an entertaining
Indiana
guy.
State?
Well, tight end.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Big Bob Tonyan.
Yep. He had that play where he knocked, you know, about eight guys down like bowling pins from this last weekend.
By the way, great leverage on that.
Oh, yeah.
Leverage on that. Excited to chat about that. Excited to chat about the playoff picture for everybody. At Viva La Zito, your poll today, sorry, Lord Zito.
Thank you.
By the way, I did see somebody buy QC5348.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, my wife. My wife, yeah.
Jeez.
No.
Yeah.
The plot's gone.
Yeah. She might be her neighbor, but seems like probably
Yeah, I think it was a neighbor. I think it's half.
Yeah.
It's a half after.
Probably a neighbor, yeah. Do I call her Lord Samantha?
I think it's Lady Sam.
Lady.
Yeah. Lady.
Lady Sam.
Lords and
Lord
ladies.
And ladies.
Lord Zeet and Lady Sam.
Okay, I will try to get one then, I guess, if I catch you.
Lord Pat.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Maybe just Lord Zito. But your poll today is one that I think is going to be intriguing, because here we are pretty late in the season. And I feel like there's still a lot of question marks whenever it comes to who's going to win this whole goddamn thing, aside from the Chiefs. Who's going to win this whole goddamn thing?
Yeah, so basically what you just said.
By the way, I just said goddamn. I apologize. I got a tweet from a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Told me to the people that are super religious, goddamn is like the N-word to them. Is what
Excuse me?
Yeah. So I apologize, but it ain't going to goddamn slow it down.
Jeez.
I'd say, yeah, it just flows right out. And I feel like you're a bit self-righteous, by the way, saying
a little bit.
That is similar.
No.
Thing.
Jesus.
Oh, no. Joe Austin, $4.4 million. PPP.
Yeah. How about that?
God bless him. But that goddamn church didn't deserve
that.
I will slow it down, by the way.
Perhaps.
Sorry.
Who's most likely to win the Super Bowl in your eyes? We had Saints, 3.1%, Bills, 8.1%, Packers, 25.5%, and Chiefs, 63.3%. A lot of people were mad that no Steelers are on there.
Yeah, well, Pittsburgh Steelers need to win a game. They need to get back into the winning side of things. Although they do have double digits victories already, and they are in the lead, the AFC North. And the AFC North, by the way, is good football. We saw that last night. But boy, it seems like everything around the Steelers right now is negative.
Yeah, Evan Fox.
Everything. Not just Evan Fox and his stupid fanhood, but your diehard fanhood. Sorry
Thank
about that.
You.
Yeah, but also, Juju Smith-Schuster, that whole dancing on the logo thing and then Eric Ebron thing and then Ben Roethlisberger's like, I can't even play football anymore, man.
Arms hurting.
I mean, they had 3 games in 12 days, so we got to let fatigue kind of settle in a little bit. True, maybe they're a little bit tired, let the boys hit the hay for a little bit, maybe get a day or two rest. But it feels like the Steelers have kind of TikTok their way out of that conversation of who's going to win the Super Bowl. And that is a shame, I will say. Because we were maybe their number one fans for a long time.
Oh, yeah, as of right now, I mean, if you are a Steelers fan, you cannot look yourself in the mirror and think that if they're playing this way, that they have any fucking chance. And by the way, to TikTok's little Juju army, go fuck yourselves, okay?
They coming after you?
Yeah.
I love that they're potentially chopping their feet on Tom Diggs' brain. Are you in a battle right now? Are you entrenched in war right now?
Yeah, with a bunch of 15-year-olds who have no idea what life is, yeah.
Juju beast.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
Is that what they're called?
Wait till you get to the real world.
You do not want any pieces.
No
of
more
that.
Participation. No.
You don't want the Juju Army.
No way,
dude. We're pretty pumped up. The Juju Army's on our side, by the way. Yeah. But that guy right there is the enemy. If you're watching,
I never scumbag. Said that's the reason why
that
they
guy
lost.
Right there is the there. That guy.
Scumbag. That guy
is the enemy. Juju
get
Army.
Him.
What's up, Nick? That guy is too. That's it, Nick Yoda. That guy's enemy.
I haven't said anything.
No,
what I want to say is you're already dancing on the grave. Wait till next Monday night. You'll see what a real AFC North battle is. Yeah, Steelers and Bungles. Let's go, baby.
I cannot believe that is the Week 15 Monday Night Football matchup.
You know, it's going to be game of the year. It's
supposed to be Joey B.
Flirts him out.
But that just tells me a lot about, you know, I assume Monday Night Football has their contract for another couple years because normally – whenever you negotiate with the NFL and you give them a bunch of money, you get a bunch of good games. Mm-hmm. For them to have the Steelers versus the Bengals, Week 15, Monday Night Football, you would think that there's potentially some other opportunities in there.
I can tell you what the Steelers don't need right now. It's another fucking primetime game. We need a buried 1 o'clock game where no one's watching. Let's get back to fucking normal.
By the way, if Zach Taylor, who has never been able to figure out how to win a game really in the NFL, if he beats the Steelers,
Monday night is not, my God.
Foxy might have to burn his jersey. Yeah.
Monday night is not what we need.
Oh, Diggs, it's a bad day. Bad day. That's why the Juju Army's coming after you, by the way, because you don't believe. By the way, those dances, we don't do the TikTok here, but we saw Juju this morning. He was on Good Morning Football. He did the scepter thing dance.
Yeah.
Are they all the same? Did he do the same dance he did on the Buffalo Bills logo? Is that the same one he did on the Cowboys logo?
I think that was a logo dance, and that was a scepter dance.
Okay, so they are too. Do you have TikTok?
Ones. No, but I've seen it, and I know what's going on.
1-888-623-3646. Last night's game was incredible. It was awesome to watch. Final 2 minutes. What were the stats in that thing? We have a stat pulled up for it. Final 2 minutes, there was 20 points scored or something like that in the final 2 minutes. I forget the total, 47-42. It's a scoregami, the first time that score has ever happened. Congratulations. Yeah, most points in the final 2 minutes since 2013 Ravens-Vikings game with 20. It's the highest scoring game of season and third highest Monday Night Football, 89. Chiefs-Rams, what was that, 2 years ago? That was whenever the Rams were humming. That was the first year. That was in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We were there. Fox and I were there for that game.
Went to that game. It was awesome.
Pretty cool. First game. Pretty cool. First game to end on a safety since 2016. That obviously fucked a lot of people over. Oh, yeah. And the first game in NFL history, 47-42. What a Monday Night Football game. That's what we need, by the way.
Yes. That's prime time why we watch the game.
Yeah. That's what we need. We need those because Sunday was a lot of bad football. You know what I mean? There's some blowouts.
Yep.
There's some there's a backdoor covering that came out of nowhere. I mean, not that it didn't last night, but last night was a great performance of football by the NFL. And I'm very thankful for it.
Remember the week before when it was all bad matchups, but like all the games were incredible? And then this week it was like 7 matchups of playoff teams and all the games stunk. So maybe we just need like bad matchups again.
Well, good news. Pittsburgh Bengals next Monday night. That'll be a conversation. Joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, a college football champion and a Super Bowl champion, A.J. Hawk.
Yeah! Hey,
hey, boy, A.J., wearing your Arnold Classic, you know, the weightlifting competition that happens in Columbus. How you doing, pal? How is this gorgeous Tuesday going for you over there in Columbus, Ohio?
Going well. I got to pick up some of the show. I saw a little bit of Bob Tunyon. He was great, man. You enjoy him?
I do love Bob. You know, the thought of the meditation in the yoga, in the manifesting of things, I really enjoy that. I like whenever people will open up and talk about that, by the way, because I think a lot of greats do that. Normally, it's not talked about. And I think younger people who are striving for greatness should know what greats are doing. And I think the manifesting and the meditating and all that shit, I think it's really good for you. I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, it seems to be. I mean, Tunyon seemed kind of how he laid it out, what he has, like a goal board. He thinks about that stuff every single day, and he always reevaluates it.
Yeah, he didn't show it to us, though. I mean, I tried my best to be like, hey, can we take a little peeksy out of here? Can we take a little peeksy? What's next? You know, he said he had 5 touchdowns he wanted to score this year. He had that in the first, like, 6 weeks or whatever, so he had to readjust it. The man that was throwing him touchdowns is a man who is on fire right now. If he doesn't win the MVP this year, it'll be a goddamn shame. Ladies and gentlemen, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah!
Hey, I appreciate you wearing that, man. Whoa. Mason Crosby, by the way, great for the brand. That 57-yarder, any doubt at all whenever you walked off the field and Mason was jogging out there with his beautiful gray hair?
Definitely not at 52. Then we had a little start. Move back to 57.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
The great behind-the-scenes story was, you know, I was standing on the sidelines. I saw the false start. I'm like, shit. And I hear somebody yell, punt.
Oh.
But I guess the old gray hair said, no, 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 no. I got this.
That's awesome.
And right when he kicked it, I knew it was in. Kickers, I think, pretty much always know.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you watch the kick and then you go right back to the kicker. And I look back at Mace and I could tell it was going in.
I'll tell you what, if you are waving off the punt team like your goddamn you, like Aaron Rodgers, like a quarterback would do, you have to make that kick. And that's what Mason's done for like 50 years at this point. He's unbelievable.
Did Tunyon not tell you that he was jogging out to the numbers and had to go back?
No, Tunyon actually told us about manifesting and meditating and this whole thing. It was really cool to listen to. He gave a lot of credit to you for, you know, making him believe that he can be great in that whole thing. He's been awesome to watch for you guys as well. Good interview. Good interview. He's in yoga right now. Mm-hmm. He's in yoga right now.
Big Bob doing yoga right now, huh?
Yeah, power pose, dude. You know what I mean? Fucking warrior, dude. You know what I'm saying?
That's not a pose.
You do yoga?
Yeah, I enjoy yoga.
Daily?
I got a sick warrior too, bro.
Ooh. I don't know what that is. Is that what I just did right there?
My chaturanga is pretty solid too.
We're closing up the season now. Let's get into this thing. You seem
No. I feel like it's just beginning, my friend.
Okay. All right. So I was going to ask, what is the mindset? Because the offense feels like you guys are hitting on all cylinders right now still. When I told you, I think first week, maybe second week, I said, Aaron, you're playing fucking great football right now. You're like, not so fast. Okay. We don't really know anything about ourselves. We're at the point now where you have to be very thrilled about where that offense is at right now.
Yeah, we're playing great football. Now we can say it. We're 14 weeks in, 13 games and a bye. So, yeah, now we can say it. We're having, you know, a lot of success on offense. I think we're number 2 in yards. Not sure where we're at in points per game. We're number 2 in third down percentage. Number 1 now in red zone.
Congrats. Gold zone. Gold zone.
Yeah.
Gold zone.
Yeah, the gold zone. Yes, the gold zone. That's a stat today. Shout out Tom Fanning. We've never been over 70% in the gold zone during my time at Green Bay, which no Green Bay team since 2000. I think it's been over 70%, and we're at 77 right now, which is pretty good.
No big deal.
Touchdown percentage, obviously, for people who don't know what the stat is. Get back in the frame.
Yeah, here I was getting my thing. I got to get a little juice. You know, AJ's going to ask me a great question.
Yeah, you got the beer?
Well, so it's funny you say that. So this is a green tea that I drink. When I went down to the WWE I forget, maybe like 2 months ago, the first time I went down there, I was walking around with one of these, and the rumors just spread right through the WWE. Like, I walked down there and just was hammering beers. Hey, McAfee's just walking around hammering beers down here, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. I got a text from Elias, who's up on WWE main roster. I was like, were you just drinking beers down there while you were walking around? Like, it's green tea. Okay, have a little respect.
Your reputation precedes you.
Yeah,
everywhere.
I know. Tough. Trying to change it, okay?
You've worked hard for that. That's good.
Well, I did in the past. Now I'm just an old man. AJ, what do you got?
Yeah. Hey, why do you think you're having so much success in the red zone or the gold zone this year compared to other years?
Probably because we're big fans of gold member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mentioned it last week. We're still shouting out Mike Myers. You know, we'd love to get him in. I was told after I relayed that I'd talked about it on this amazing show about Mike Myers that he might have to have some COVID tests to be let in the building.
Oh, yeah.
Protocol. So I might need to call on the NFL for some special exemptions for him. Oh. If we get him masked up in a gold mask and the whole outfit, I feel like there's no excuses why he couldn't be in there. I'm sure he's, you know, a beacon of health. We can get him in the building, get him on some roller skates, just let him go fucking crazy. You know?
Could you imagine him roller skating from the facility to practice while you guys are driving by with Tanyan told us that there's just people in trunks and shit like that, and you got Mike Myers just skating down as gold member. Oh, man.
That's what I want to see right there. That's besides the Vanquish, that's what I want for Christmas. That's my number two.
How has that whole conversation with Bakhtiari gone? I saw you guys celebrate this past weekend, by the way. Big Bob Tanyan was left to celebrate by himself while you and Bakhtiari gave a little headbutt to each other. So I see the relationship between you and Bakhtiari is growing. That's great news.
We're hanging in there by a thread. Yeah. I mean, by a thread. You know, I feel like every time there's an interview opportunity, this guy's trying to slam me. And it hurts.
Yeah.
It really hurts.
Yeah.
Here I am just singing his praises. All I'm asking for is a tiny automobile.
Tiny.
That's it.
It's only a quarter of a million.
He just feels like, well, who cares? Price is not an object when there's friends involved, right?
Right. Right, man.
I just feel like, you know, maybe he's just doing it for show. Maybe he's celebrating with me just for show on TV.
Oh, my God.
Knowing the camera's going to be on me.
Oh.
And what was our relationship for all these years?
Fake.
He, you know, would run down just to find me after every touchdown pass. Touchdown run, what does he do? He forgets about me. He goes to the back.
Oh, because he knows.
Touchdown pass, right to me. And he hangs on me for, agonizing seconds.
Yeah, you want to celebrate with other people.
This connection that we had, this friendship. Now it's, maybe it's about the airtime.
You know, you would never expect that, but it did get him to
would. Yeah, you would.
Oh, you would?
This is a guy who woke up on third base and felt like he had a triple.
Shout out to Talkie Tari, dude. Shout out to him. You do have the camera on you at all times. I mean, it's wild. And before the game, I saw you throwing up the West Side. What California bro were you doing that to? Was that on another team or on your own team?
No, that was to Cephas, man. This is for Wisconsin, you know. It used to be back in the 90s. It was for, you know, West Side when you're listening to some Tupac or something. But,
yes.
No, it's for Wisconsin, man. Sometimes you do it with the, you know, the this and the other hand putting together. But I think that looks too much like loser turned up at a 45-degree angle. So I really like the old school. So I was just shouting them out, man. You know, he went to Wisconsin, and I enjoyed watching him play when he was there, and just give him some love. Got a chance to talk to him after the game as well.
Hey, I know you went to Cal after, I know you transferred in from Butte Community College, is that correct?
Have a little respect.
Yeah, that's a rhetorical statement there, yes. You know that.
Okay, so you transferred to Cal from there. If you didn't go to Cal, was there any other, like, school out there that you wanted to play for?
Yeah, anybody who would take me, who actually played some decent opponents. No offense, now I can say whatever I want. I felt like at the time I was not quite a D3 athlete. I got a lot of interest from Claremont McKenna, Occidental.
Great
teams. Lewis and Clark.
Hey, they get hot though late. They get hot. Offense. Lewis and Clark team gets hot. They snoop around and they find some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Brett Elliott was a quarterback there.
Oh.
Set, set some records. He threw for like 70,000 touchdowns 1 year or something. Crazy. My boy Tim would appreciate the shout-out, which I'm not going to give him, even though I mentioned his name.
Yeah, no offense.
But, yeah, I felt like even teams like UC Davis just down the road showed zero interest. San Diego State showed a little bit of interest before their staff got let go. But, yeah, if there was a walk-on opportunity to a school that you know, 1AA, two, even, you know, even Division two, I would definitely would have taken it.
There was some throwback to you in the newspaper. You're 21 years old. Did you? So you went to community college for 1 year, 2 year, and then you did you leave early from Cal?
I did. Yeah, two great semesters at JUCO. It cost $11 a unit to go to school at Butte.
Nice.
It took 33 credits, so a quick math tabulation.
$333.
Yeah, not a whole lot of money. cost my parents to go to college.
Bless you.
And then went to, I went to Cal for three semesters. So people was like, why don't you go back and finish? I'm like, I went to college for five semesters out of eight. I'm like, there's a lot left. And Cal doesn't like it if you do classes outside of the you got to do your five core classes on campus in Berkeley. That's what I was told my first year out, because I was like, oh, my backup, I could probably, you know, do some classes. They said, when are you going to come live on campus and take your classes here? I said, never.
Yeah. Well, I've always thought this, Aaron, whenever they give people shit for leaving early and not going and getting your degree will always be there. And are we not going to college to make a shit ton of money? Like, isn't that what you go to college for, is to find your career? If you can make money doing something, like, I feel like you should go do that. Now, granted, if you're a seventh rounder or a sixth round projection and maybe another year can get you going. But anytime that conversation pops up with somebody who's a top two round or top three round even, and they're like, he should go back for his education. I'm like, fuck that. Go get your money, dude. Who knows what's going to happen? That's how I feel. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but since you left after five semesters, I think you probably agree with me. Like, you should go and get the degree. Will always be there.
100%.
Okay, good. I'm happy.
I mean, I think I don't want to get down the path of what I have my feelings about college in general, but I'll just say that.
Oh, we can, because I got the same feelings. Biggest racket I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to refute that. A lot of people come out of there with a lot of debt. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, people rip on, like AJ, you know, these yuppies, like AJ, like to rip on,
yeah,
you know, community colleges or trade schools. There's a great school up here just down the road called NWTC. And you got, you know, you're teaching kids real life skills. And I don't think college should have to be for everybody. I'm not going to go on a rant here. This is too long.
Hey, did you see how Foxy isolated you two there, by the way? I mean, he was.
Yeah, that was good there. Everything was just kind of sneaking in here. I was like, no, I don't want to go there right now. Talk about the debt that people accrue to have to, you know, get out of college and not make a decent job. They got to pay off their debt for the next 10 or 15 years. Yeah.
30.
I think, you know, my quarterback coach told me I should come back for another year after my junior year, and I said, I think I'm going to go pro.
Hey, by the way, your quarterback coach on draft night, when Alex Smith was taken and you were kind of falling, he was like, I fucking told him. You know, he was like celebrating that whole thing.
Yeah, he was texting me the old middle finger emoji on the flip phone.
T9 that thing. What do you got, AJ?
Hey, so you have all these things floating around your head that I know that you like to research and everything. A, are you going to write a book someday and put all this in there? And my second part of this question, since you already started talking about college and everything, I'd like your opinion on, like, what do you think of the vaccine? What company has the best one? What about politics? Did Trump really win? Did he lose? What are we doing? Like, where are you with everything?
hey, Foxy, just go right in there.
Oh, man. Look, all I'm going to say controversial today is, how can college football not get it together and realize that four teams is not enough?
Oh, thank you.
All years to do an extended playoff. I mean, you know, Age, they're trying to squeeze out Ohio State. They definitely don't want any Pac-12 school in there.
No way.
Even though we do have an undefeated team. Led by, on offense, one of our dear friends, the tiny ceramic head collector, Graham Harrell.
Oh, so those are ceramic heads. Okay, because AJ was telling us there were actual skulls yesterday that Graham Harrell collected.
Oh, they might be at this point. I don't know. He's gone off the deep end, I'm sure, many times over. But but how they don't have a playoff is beyond me. It is absolutely beyond me. And, you know, teams like Coastal Carolina, right, it's undefeated also. Mm-hmm. No chance they'll put them over, you know, be probably a three-loss team over them just because these, you know.
How about Cincinnati? Cincinnati's got some real athletes, too, undefeated. They've been like a team that they got no shot. Why not? Do you think it's just the bureaucracy of things? Like things are so slow moving? Because you saw the way BYU in Coastal Carolina were able to make that game on a Thursday for Saturday. Like, boom, boom, we'll figure out the business later. Let's make this happen. Why do you think that they want it? Because there was a 16-team playoff that at College Football Playoff Edits, I think is the account. They put this thing together. And once you see it in like the way it would look and the way it would play out, it's like, this is the answer. Like, how come we can't do that? Why do you think things take so long like that? Why would that never? We all know it's not possible, but we all like it. Why is that even something that happens?
Bureaucracy in NCAA? I mean, you want to talk about a racket?
They're right down the road here. I don't think they pay their bills either. Yeah. I don't think.
I don't understand it. I mean, if it's really all about making money, which they've proven over and over it is, like, why would you not want to maximize it with a multi-team, you know, multi-round bracket, you know, 8, 16, 32. Like, maybe more than 32 would probably be a little too tough, but 8 or 16, come on.
It'd be easy. Let's get back to some NFL talk. Did you watch that game last night? It was electrifying.
No, I didn't. I was sleeping.
Lamar Jackson either took a shit or had a cramp in the middle of the game, and they came back at the 2-minute warning. First play back, 4th and 5, throws a touchdown. Have you ever gotten cramps or anything? Do you do IVs at halftime or anything like that?
We've never done IVs in Green Bay. I've never seen them administered. AJ would probably be a better guy to ask about that, because with that old skin he's got, he was cramping up all the time. No, never got an IV. Never had to take a dump either during the game. I've peed definitely in that little tent. I'm sure AJ, because, you know, the worst bladder.
He's peeing right now.
Most active bladder of all time is that guy, you know, over here on my right. Oh, wait, no, over here.
Yeah.
This guy right here has got no bladder control. Yeah. He's probably peed in that little black tent so many times on the sidelines, but... But no, I did see that people were accusing him of taking a dump, and I think he cleared that up, didn't he?
Yeah, he said he wasn't taking shit. Everybody needs to relax.
Good.
Play good football.
Good win for Baltimore.
Great win. Great game, too. I can't believe you missed it. And granted, you were sleeping because you're a professional athlete, high or whatever, but it was awesome all the way into the end. And then the bettors got completely fucked at the end. It was awesome. I mean, it was a great
win. Yeah, I saw there was some sort of safety at the end that flipped millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sure there's nobody cares about that, huh? What'd you have? I know you had something on the game.
Right? It helped me out.
So no complaints.
Yeah, me and AJ both took – what's that?
Minus three? Or you had minus three or 3.5?
We had a minus three. AJ and I both said Ravens yesterday in the show very loudly. But on our gambling podcast last week, I picked the Browns. So depending on which show you listen to, I had both teams. And if they win by three there, both of them don't win. So that's what happened. And then when the safety happens, AJ and I celebrate real hard. We're like, yeah, we said it was going to happen or whatever, but it was wild. It was a wild
time. Yeah, just brush that other podcast aside. Never happened.
Exactly. AJ?
Yeah, so, Pat, I know it surprises you. So, Aaron, we talk about a lot how Pat says Toradol is the greatest thing ever. I know Green Bay, they never administered IVs as well. I got an IV one time when I was deathly sick right before a game. All it did was make me piss like 9 times during warm-ups and at halftime in the tent during the game. It was fine. I know Aaron's unable to get it because they can't find a way to brush enough hair away to find a vein right there in his forearm. Usually, that's what Doc told me, at least.
Aaron. You're a hairy guy. Is that what it is?
Sorry, was there a question on that?
No.
Hey, your hair is looking awesome, though. Are we going Scott Stapp? Are we going back the whole thing? Because it is growing. I mean, it's working. Let's keep that thing going. I might go mullet, by the way. I haven't got my hair cut. Normally, I was getting my hair cut every single week. I'm thinking going mullet, I think. Now is the time. I think.
Yeah, but you know what? You're so image conscious now. You know, you got to be on your wrestling show as well. You're on TV every day. I feel like, you know, one of your boys can pull that off. Maybe not Ty, but I feel like you have really kind of, let me say, you haven't sold out. You're not that kind of guy, but you're definitely really concerned with your image. You're wearing glasses today. You know,
it's because I was so high earlier. Right? I mean, image conscious is an interesting way to describe a guy that goes sleeveless every single goddamn day. I get yelled at by the olds, by the way, that I don't take this thing professional enough and I don't dress up enough. But I'm in the middle of putting on some pounds. I'm in fluffing season right now, bub. I'm up 20 in the last like 7 days at this point. It's bad.
You're a fluffer now, is it?
Oh, easy. All right, take it easy.
Whoa, hey. Whoa.
What I'm saying is it's fluffing season. Okay?
Oh, you're a little fluffy.
Yeah. I ain't fluffing anything.
I am growing it out. I will say that a lot of inspiration rewatching that halftime show that Creed put on. Mm-hmm. Just seeing the locks. And then, you know, he did an interview with my buddy Kyle Brandt, who does, Good Morning Football. I know he's a fan of the show as well.
We're big fans.
Yes, he's a great dude. I'm definitely as an ode to Scott Stapp for sure. When I first met AJ, when he was, less worried about how he looks in public and stuff. He did have long hair as well, as an ode to a mutual hero of ours, Pat Tillman.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to say Bobby Carpenter. But Pat Tillman, actual hero.
Yeah.
Bob Carpenter is not. Rest in peace, by the way, Pat Tillman. We appreciate you. Milwaukee Bucks just signed the largest NBA deal in history to the Greek Freak. You are part owner of Squad. How much money comes out of your pocket? Are we going to lose this house potentially because you got to pay the Greek Freak?
There hasn't been a capital call as of yet. The ink is still wet, so... not sure if there'll be any type of money needed, but it's a big signing for us. We're pretty ecstatic. I guess he is as well. I would assume this is just a conjecture, but I know that he was interested in what the roster kind of turnover is going to be. Made some moves in the off season. Brought in some players. I guess he's happy with them so far. We still have the pieces, a couple important pieces from our run last year that got interrupted by COVID after, we were the number one team in the league and on a big time role. Who cares? Hopefully, we can keep rolling for the next 5 years. We got the man back, and he's still 25?
Yeah, 25. He's only learning basketball still too, somehow it feels like. Every time you watch him, he's picking up some new. How does that work? So they just come to you and they say, hey, do you want to be a part owner of a goddamn NBA team? Because they did it to Usher whenever the Cavaliers were popping off. Patrick Mahomes just got a piece of the Royals. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how those conversations happen. And then what do you just get? You get courtside seats and then you can just bring friends? Like how does that relationship start? And how many of these types of things are you a part of?
I'm a part of this. That's about the only ownership I have in sports teams. I am interested in some other leagues and have had some conversations with some folks, but no, I got to know Mark Lasry and Wes Edens over the years going to games. There have been conversations from reps of mine with them trying to get some sort of deal done. My opinion, it was not what I wanted. I just wanted to be a part of it. I didn't want Shaq has a agreement with the Kings where a lot of it was based on appearances and number of times you go to games and yada yada yada. I just wanted to be a part of it and get in because I felt like it was a good connection to the region, thinking I was going to be here for a long, long time. And also I love basketball, love the vision that Mark and Wes have and the excitement around the team. And finally, after years, I basically just said, to hell with this. I don't need other people talking for me. I picked up the phone. I called Wes Edens and we had a conversation. And about a week later, I was a minority owner.
Enough with the lawyers, all right? I want a piece of the team. I would like to come to some games. How do we make this happen? What a move. I love your life, dude. I love your life. What leagues are we getting into? MLS? You can own a team in the MLS?
I think the MLS is an interesting proposition for sure. I think, you know, I think the popularity of the sport worldwide and the fact that they're going to continue to expand the amount of teams they got, I think it's an interesting proposition.
You know, and the America's about to win a World Cup, too. Yeah. We got all the dudes. We're about to win a World Cup, Aaron. No, I don't know if you know that or not. We were about to win the whole thing.
I don't know if I see that.
Yeah.
Whoa, Aaron. Whoa.
I do. Whoa. I do.
2026.
Yeah, probably the next one. Is that
the young guns are coming through.
Is that the next one?
No, we got 2022. It'll be the one after that.
Okay, that's our footy guy, our soccer guy. He's wrong. 2022, we're winning. We're winning the goddamn World Cup. Sorry, AJ, what do you got?
You mentioned Giannis and him having, like, checking out, like, roster control. What would that be like to have, like, you know how NBA players, if you're the superstar of the team, they have so much power over what goes on. Like, can you imagine having that much power being you, like the position you're in?
Would you want it too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I imagine? Hell yeah. Sounds pretty cool. You know, I think there is a lot of power given to those guys. I mean, LeBron obviously has had impact on his. You know, it's different when you have 15 man rosters compared to 53 man rosters, I'm sure. You know, I think for me, it's always been about tenure and about vision and about what's it all about. And so the tenure, the years, I feel like that's how you earn the respect to be even included in conversations. The focus or the vision, you know, what would you do with the responsibility? Kind of what are you all about? And for me, it's been about winning. You know, I just care about winning. I've accomplished, you know, everything I want to accomplish individually. Like, I want to win more Super Bowls. That's my focus. That's my, you know, that's my vision every single year. So, to me, that's what it would be all about, you know, to be involved in those conversations. Now, that's just not the case in Green Bay. And so, you know, that kind of is what it is. My focus has always been like on winning football. I've been around the game for a long time. I feel like as far as talent evaluation, I feel like I can do that. I know if a guy can play or if he can't play. And then also, you know, as players, we see the other side. We see the locker room. We see the off the field stuff. We see the motivation. You know, I think a lot of times in general, coaches, you know, believe in kind of what they see and what they can kind of get out of a guy, and personnel people believe in potential. And that's the way most decisions, I think, get made across the league. You know, potential for personnel, and then the coaches say, look, this guy can play or this guy can't play based on what I see right now.
You know what they say, potential gets you fired. That's like literally a quote from coaches everywhere. It's like, potential gets you fired, potential gets you fired. That's probably because coaches have been blaming personnel departments for their entire existence for why they failed. That makes more sense now that you just laid that out there. So thank you for that. Whenever you said your focus is on winning Super Bowls, do you get pissed off about the Super Bowl conversation whenever they start talking about goats and goats and goats, and it always revolves back to Super Bowls when everybody on earth who knows football knows that a quarterback just can't walk onto a field and win a Super Bowl by himself?
Pat, I don't spend a lot of time in those conversations in general. I'm not, you know, I'm not calling up AJ and being like, hey, so let's talk about guys who won a lot of Super Bowls. You know, talk about, like, what do you think about this guy? He's won too, you know. I don't have those conversations. I don't think twice about it. I think when you're talking about best players, right? Like, I've already said on the show, there's way too many people label the GOAT, or this guy's the GOAT of this guy's the GOAT of that. It used to be greatest of all time is one person, mm-hmm. right? But now, because there's way too many GOATs, I think you have to break it out into specific categories. Best winner of all time, person who's won the most championships. Best player, you know, which involves talent and ability and what you did with it. Most talented player, you know.
That'd probably be you.
Best thrower of the football. Like,
yeah, that's probably you.
There's all these different ways you can break that out. But when it comes to those, like, you know, maybe not with AJ, but with most people, I'm probably in that conversation.
Yeah. <it's- laughs> Hey, speaking of other people judging things, congrats to you guys. Number two in the NFL power rankings.
Yeah!
Yeah, number two. Do we have that graphic?
What does that get us?
Hey, number two, man. You guys were previously a little bit lower. Okay, you get a big win over the Lions. Look at you. They even used your picture of smiling because they were so pumped. Wow. Look at you moved up to number two.
Right.
Right there behind the Kansas City Chiefs above, above. Congratulations on week 14.
Really excited. Thank you so much, ESPN. Using my face because you thought that would get the most clicks on.
Oh! I like that. We do it, too. It works, by the way.
Conform, huh?
Well, no, it's because your face, that's why every football game that you're on, they just zoom in right on your face. It is it's a lovable face, Aaron. I'm going to let you know. And we had a caller on earlier from Minnesota, said, thought you were a complete dickhead or something like that before this year. Now he loves you. It's kind of tough. All your enemies are becoming friends or fans now. It's going to be an interesting time for you these next couple of years because at the end of that game against the Lions, I think I saw 10 players around you. And then obviously the mic'd up situation with Houston for after the Colts game where you're like, hey, man, I'll get you a jersey. Seven people have asked me for a jersey, though. That has to get a bit – does it get exhausting at the end of this? You have fans. Everybody's a fan of Aaron Rodgers at this point.
No, I love it. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about the mutual respect with the guys after the game, you know. And I've played against Matt so many times. Who knows what's going to happen next year? You know, this might be the last time we play against each other. You know, I love those interactions. I've known Chase for a long time. You know, he's been a backup in the league for a long time. AP, still, in my opinion, the greatest running back of our era. You know, a ton of respect. And then seeing, you know, some of the younger guys that I don't know as well and the respect, you know, I appreciate that. Jamie Collins, you play against him a couple times now and watched him play for a long time. He's had a really good career. You know, I love those conversations. And I will say this, you know, I haven't said this, you know, to a couple close friends, but something happened for the first time in 16 years on Sunday. I went into the opposing team's locker room. I'd never done that before. I guess it just, you know, usually media or whatnot, and the way that locker rooms are laid out, especially not in Lambeau, you know, you get over to the opposing team's locker room, it's you know, you got to kind of go out, go left, go down the hall, go up the elevator, you know, it's kind of a hike. But in Detroit, it's right next to you. So AP actually came in and we did a jersey swap. So I wasn't ready. So I took my jersey in there into Detroit's locker room and got to see Maddie was still in there and Chase and AP and Marvin. So that was fun. It was fun to, you know, there's only like 6-7 guys in there, but it was cool to see those guys for, you know, a minute outside of the field where there's no, you know, microphones and no cameras and stuff, to just be able to, you know, shoot the shit for a few minutes with those guys. It was fun.
Did you tell Marvin he got fucked on that catch?
That was a hell of a catch.
Yeah, what?
You know, just a classic cow guy, just making plays.
That's funny.
Hey, did you shower in there with the Lions, or did you shower?
By the way, AJ, he has not answered a lot of your questions here today. Now I'm learning.
Just tell AP.
What are your shirts?
No hot water.
The Arnold Classic.
Yeah, it's about lift and weights. You don't know much about that.
Oh, shit! Yeah, Warrior Two though.
Yeah, Warrior Two, bro.
Ty, what do you got?
Working on my yoga.
Amen.
Aaron, I've always been curious because I don't think you did your rookie year, and you have every year since then. At what point were you like, you know what, I love the cloth chin strap? Is it more comfortable, convenient, or are you just kind of trying to show the young guns like, hey, I'm still one of the grittiest, toughest sons of bitches there is because I'm wearing the cloth still?
And pancake cutting.
Yeah, obviously.
With that thing.
Definitely pancake cutting. Yeah, I had the high hookups. They just put them on there. I think they thought that that's what I would want. But they're a little irritating, especially if you're going to have your helmet on the sidelines as a backup for a long time. And I just realized how cool it was to, like, just, you know,
flip it.
You put it on the same side when I wanted to wear it on the sidelines. So I started rocking it. Those 3 years, I didn't wear a mouthpiece. I didn't play other than the preseason, but didn't wear a mouthpiece, single strap, and never taped my ankles. And I was like, and a lot of it was because Farvey did it. I was like, well, if he doesn't do it, then I don't have to do it. I mean, like, he's played 336 straight games, so must not make a difference, right? And I just, you know, I loved it. I loved it. I mean, you really don't. People are like, weren't you worried about breaking your jaw or whatever? Like, you hardly ever, and definitely not in this NFL anymore, you don't take shots in the head, really. Like, you just don't. And I don't think that's ever, you know, been an issue for me. My ankles, you know, I don't have a problem, you know, rolling those. I've rolled them a number of times. They don't swell. They don't bother me. I feel like I, you know, got them nice and strong. But, yeah, Ty, to answer your question, like, now it's a part of my outfit. You know, it's part of my uniform. But there's been, you know, a couple people, one college kid took a shot at my swag.
Oh, yeah. We know.
I don't think a lot of people understand what swag is. You know, some of the younger generation thinks, you know, swag is just like the clothes I wear or whatever. No, no, no. A swag is a mentality. Yeah. Swag is a mindset. I tried to tell this to some of the guys in the locker room this week. I said, swagger, which is what swag comes from. Swagger is a mindset. Swagger isn't that you have a Supreme backpack on. Or that you have your shoes, you know, unlaced walking around with, you know, the you know, you got your new Louis fanny pack that you make sure it's not worn at your waist. It's worn over your shoulder. That's not swag. That's not swagger. That's fashion choices. True swag is owning your inner essence. Mm. It's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And my essence on the field is that I feel like I'm a throwback player. No, and I'm a tough guy. What I've played through, how I wear my stuff, you know, I'm kind of a no-nonsense straightforward. To me, that's what swag is all about.
You're damn
all
right.
All this like, fake swag out there. I got my special towel. I got this. I got that. I got this riding out there. A lot of you guys are just posers.
All right. There's a particular Mormon that just heard that message.
No, I love that kid, though. I do love that kid. I think he's a good kid and good player. And he actually gave me some props. He just kind of ripped on my swag. I think he was talking about the fact that I'm, you know, older and may not be and like to rock sweats on my road trips. But I get that. You know, if you're talking about like fashion sense, I'm not gonna. You know, every now and then you see me some pictures of me at the ESPYs or the honors. Ooh. Like, you know, I bring it. But I'm, you know, look, if I'm walking to the plane now, especially with these COVID rules, I'm rocking sweats and I'm in a sweatshirt. You know, I mean, I don't care. I'm not trying to impress any of my teammates.
Can I talk to you about you being an old school throwback quarterback though? Yeah, let's do it. Put that rush yards thing up there, shall we? Can we put that rush yards thing up there? Do you know you're number 12 all time in Green Bay Packers history rushing with over 3,222 yards at this point?
Wow.
That's insane, dude. And you had another one this weekend, by the way. You got out, little six-yard skirt. And
30 tuggers, bro. I just passed Tobin Rope.
No big deal. You did a nice knee drive slowdown, too, at the end of that thing. I love whenever you get loose, dude. The sneaky athlete comes out. In a beautiful fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I still got it. I can still move around a little bit. It wasn't any explosive runs, I feel like, on Sunday. And I told the guys I was tired. It was the last play of a 17-play drive that took 8 minutes and 50 seconds off the clock. Like, I didn't have any left for celebration. I had no belt celebration, no big spike.
Is that dead? Is that dead?
No. Of course not.
Okay. Well, the internet's working.
Yeah, here, yeah.
No. It's definitely not dead. It just, I was tired, you know. I just was thinking about getting over sidelines and having a seat, man. That was a long drive.
You're an idiot.
I got a quick one, Pat. I just wonder how hard it is. When I watch games on TV, I see guys come off the sideline. I know they want you guys to throw on masks. Like, how tough is it in the moment? Like, say you just threw a big touchdown pass and you're talking with your coach and celebrating. Is it difficult to be like, oh, wait, here we go. Hold on, you got a mask up. Like, does that come into your mind?
No, you're not thinking about it at all. And I hope that that's never the norm. I really do. I hope it's never the norm to think, oh, shit, I got to put my mask on. Like, you do it because you don't want to get fined. And, you know, I hand off my helmet usually to Chris on the sidelines. He hands me back, you know, my hat, whatever hat I'm wearing, a towel, and then my mask now. That's, you know, so that's a part of the routine, but I hope it never becomes the norm. Just I hope we get past this, and this is in the rear view as soon as possible.
Well, AJ asked you about that earlier. You chose not to answer, but which, by the way, good work. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge your way through that entire thing. You...
No. For another time, I will.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, let's do it. There was a question that was proposed on another sports show that said, because you're working out your legs more, you're throwing the ball better. Would you like to address that directly? Is that why you're throwing the ball better, because you're working out your legs more?
I'm squatting a Haas right now. I'm not sure. I mean, I really don't know. I think, but I will say I'm a big proponent of squatting. I didn't squat for years, other than like the bear squat, or if you know what that is, like, you know, that it's not, you know, the most strenuous thing on your legs. But I got back onto the bar starting last year, and I've, you know, gotten 4 plates on each side.
Old school.
I can definitely say, you know, there's some young guys in the squad that aren't pushing the same kind of weight I'm pushing on.
Oh, but they got that Louis. They got that Louis.
They do, man. They got that swag, bro.
All right, last question. We can't thank you enough for your time. You're the best. You're one touchdown away from 40 on the season already. This year has just been absolutely awesome. I hope you're enjoying the shit out of it, dude.
Is there a question in there?
No, just kind of a statement. Like, you are fucking slicing and dicing football right now. All the stats right now, and you're not a big stats guy, I assume. Well, you seem to know everything that's going on, so you probably do know this. All the stats that you're putting up is, like, historic right now. So just want to let you know, I hope you're enjoying the hell out of it.
Look, it started with this show, man. It started with this show.
Write it down.
Just bringing it and having fun, and, you know, it's culminated with a really nice season we put together, and then hopefully some hardware at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. And we're not talking about honors hardware. The MVP has already won.
Put it all off and shut AJ up once and for all.
That's what I'm talking about. To hell with AJ Hawk.
Because, let me see, I believe somebody on this show last week said Packers by 17 or they're going to lose. Wasn't that AJ?
Oh, no.
Wasn't that this guy?
Yeah, it was. It was that guy.
And I'm sure when you heard that, you were like, yeah, he's probably right.
Golly. He's the worst. He's a doubter. Hey, I
can't confirm or deny that.
Ladies and gentlemen, hey, good luck against the Panthers, buddy. Can't wait to watch you get 40 on the year. You're the best. Thank you for your time.
See you, boys.
Hey, college, by the way. We'll go back together. You know, we'll get our degrees.
Greens and holes, bro. It's a plant.
Aaron Rodgers.
So sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to remind everyone, if you're not sleeping on a Lisa mattress tonight when you go to bed, you're just doing it wrong. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Everyone knows the mattress buying process stinks. No one likes it. You go to some mattress store that more often than not is a front for, you know, some sort of nefarious business. Some used car salesman is trying to sell you a mattress with other people's DNA and hair and sweat and lice and whatever the hell else on there. The process itself just stinks. There's no two ways about it. And that's why I love my Lisa mattress. If you get a mattress from Lisa.com, it's going to show up on your doorstep within a matter of days in a vacuum sealed bag. You're going to undo the box, take it out, slit that puppy open, and watch it expand to its full form in 5 minutes or less. It's incredible. The mattresses are so comfortable, that have a nice memory foam recovery layer, and are each handcrafted for relief and stability no matter what. I have a Lisa mattress myself. Everyone else in the office does. They're incredible. I couldn't imagine sleeping on anything else at night. I mean, you spend more time in your bed than you do anywhere else, so why not have the most comfortable mattress on earth? And right now, if you go to Lisa.com, you're going to find some incredible deals. The Lisa original mattress is up to $200 off plus 2 free pillows. The Lisa hybrid mattress is up to $350 off plus 2 free pillows. And the Lisa legend mattress is up to $500 off with 2 free pillows. No matter what kind of mattress you get, you're going to get some great savings, and you're also going to get 2 free pillows. Don't be a stooge. Don't be a sellout. If you're looking for a new mattress, go to Lisa.com and make sure you get yourself the most comfortable mattress on the face of the earth. Back to the show.
back to Aaron Rodgers Tuesday and the Green Bay Packers. Joining us now, a man who has emerged as a superstar for the Green Bay Packers, tight end out of Indiana State, ladies and gentlemen, Big Bob Tonyan.
Yeah!
Hey, good clap there, Bob. Good clap. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. This is awesome.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. Now, I see that you go by Robert Tonyan, and we just, I assume everybody just started calling you Big Bob Tonyan. Do you hate the name? Should I be calling you Robert? Should we change the little name thing down on the other side?
No, it's all good. My grandpa's Bob. My dad's Bob. It's about time that, you know, the name just, you know, goes from Robert to Bob.
Hell yeah. Hey, well, Big Bob Tonyan's been making some damn plays. Kid from Indiana State, you end up at the Packers. This year has had to be quite a whirlwind for you. Did you kind of expect it, right? Because a lot of the stories were coming out. Ty wanted to talk about this, and it kind of leads into this first conversation. You were training with Kittle a little bit, and then your name started coming on the scene, and then you end up with Aaron Rodgers. And it kind of, has this year just been the dream come true that you've always kind of fantasized about?
Yeah, I think it's just – been like what I've been manifesting and just sticking to the plan, just keeping my head down, just working the last, you know, couple of years just behind good guys like Mercedes, Jimmy and Lance Kendricks. I was behind those guys for the last, you know, couple of years here, and just, you know, when it was my turn to go, I just had to be ready, and I'm thankful I was ready.
Let's talk about manifesting. The hell does that mean? You sit down, you have like a do you have a goals chart? Do you have like a goals thing?
Goals right here, right next to yeah, and what's funny, at the beginning, I made, like, you know, like, mental goals and then some, obviously, statistical goals. But, yeah, I had 5 touchdowns as my goals to start the year, and then I got that, like, 5 games for the year. So I had to read.
That was 15. Let me go ahead and change this.
Yeah, but it was yeah, every day, you know, meditating, whether it's, you know, self-talk or, you know, whatever it is, you know, just got to, you know, keep the mind just as good as the body.
How'd you get into that, Bob? Because we saw that the Packers hired like a mental coach or like a psychiatrist. I believe I forget the exact dial in. But whenever we talked to Aaron earlier in the season, he was talking about being in the mental state where he's like happier and everything like that. Has this been a team initiative? Is this something that you brought on? How long have you been doing the mental exercises to be the best you?
Just last year with, you know, getting injured for the first time, like, ever in my, like, career, and missing games because of an injury is just, like, so hard on me. And then, you know, missing your window, you know, could you be cut? You know, are you going to play? Like, you want to be a starter, but you can't play, like, for the first time, like, physically. So, you know, I was just in a bad spot last year, got the core surgery, and, you know, I used that time to just, you know, get mentally stronger when I couldn't do anything physically. And, you know, and people who know me, you know, I got kind of with that with Kittle's dad, George's dad. He was kind of my mental coach when I was down there in Nashville training. And then when I got here, just getting around guys like Aaron and Mercedes who do the same stuff. It's just good to have those types of people, like, with you and, like, yeah, have your back working and how you're moving the same way.
I need those people around me. Because instead, I got this guy, Ty.
Big Bob, has Coach LaFleur said anything to you like, hey, dude, you got to relax. You're going to, like, fucking knock me out when you're punching me after you score a touchdown or we have a big drive. Has he said anything like that to you?
Yeah, throw punches.
No, I feel like he wants, like, he, like, fake hates it, so he, like, will get it more. Like, he's like, you know. But then, like, if I'm, like, not, like, pissed off, but if I'm, like, angry, like, jump around, he's like, you know, let's have some fun, how about, you know? Like, let's maybe, like, have fun with it. But waiting for the time where he gets, like, really smoked.
So, he's a cool guy, huh? He's one of the most successful, I think the most successful coach to ever start an NFL career with his record at this point. And then last year, the conversation was him and Aaron are going to hate each other. And then all they've done is just get better and better and better together. In watching him and Aaron celebrate, watching you and him celebrate, like, there's not a lot of head coaches that are like that. That it is. What is it like to play for a guy that young and also seems to be that cool?
I think just like his knowledge of wanting the team to be player led and kind of letting Aaron, Mercedes and the Smith guys, like, just like kind of like run the team, do their thing and let them talk. And, you know, if there's, you know, inner squad, you know, not beef, but, like, you know, like,
yeah,
crap kind of shit going on. I don't know if I can swear on here.
Yeah, you can. Whatever. Big Bob, load it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Just letting us do our thing and, you know, being a coach when the coach is, you know, needs to be a coach and like the point of authority, but also just kind of letting the players figure it out. And we have the guys to do that in the locker room.
Does it feel like you guys are impossible to stop? Because that's what it looks like. Whenever you turn on a Packers game, aside from that Buccaneers game, but whenever you turn on a Packers game, it's just like, okay, this offense is just going to be unbelievable. Played against the Colts defense, by the way, one of the top defenses. Now, obviously, that game goes overtime and you guys lose, but we're able to move. Then the Chicago Bears defense, which is a legendary, able to move. It seems like it doesn't really matter. You guys are going to do your thing. Do you guys know that? Is that something you guys know? Like, yeah, our offense is really good right now.
Yeah, I think
you have to. Yeah,
like you said, being aware of, you know, the playmakers we have and, you know, who we got under center, I just don't think that mentally we think about failing. I think going back to kind of what we were just talking about, like we manifested as an offense, like throughout the week we're talking about what, you know, what plays we want to make individually as a team, you know, just like mentally, visually, like a lot of walkthroughs and just being on the same page. And obviously having Aaron at quarterback doesn't stink. So
he's so good at the football, dude.
Dude, it's unreal. And it's like not even that he like throws as like a quarterback. He throws as like a thrower. Like he's not like, you know, like sitting back in the pocket, like being like super mechanical. Like, you know, you see his feet and his hips. You know, he's different. He's a little weirdo, you know.
Is there anything in the huddle? Is he saying things or is it all like normally to the point? Is he in between? Because I think Aaron Jones came on the show. And it was before his first time getting real time. And Aaron jogged on the field next to him and was like, basically said something like, hey, it's time for like the rest of the world to see what we've got. Like kind of like a little motivational, like a little, is he like that during games, during plays? And like, how about for you coming out and being introduced to the world? What have some conversations with him been like?
He's just super supportive in the huddle. And, you know, like you said, sometimes to the point, but other than that, like in pregame warmups or in practice, like, before we get like a team drive going or whatever, like he'll give us a little, just a calming speech and just look everyone in the eye and just, you know, wants everyone's attention and know like it's time to go. And Aaron's just a guy that I respect for the sole fact that, you know, for me, like coming off the streets as like a practice squad tight end, like, yeah, like it is what it is. But like he got to know me. He got to know like what I was about. He saw me making plays in the practice squad and then, you know, rolling over and just, you know, being understudies of those guys I mentioned before and just understanding how great I wanted to be and, like, how good I wanted to be and just studying so hard. He just, you know, didn't let me teeter, you know, that line. He understands that and won't let me fall below that, and I respect him for that.
How have you never crashed your car on your ride to practice from the facility in full pads? How has that never happened?
That is crazy. It's funny, though, because, like, you know, some guys are in the trunk of, like, truck bed, stuff like that. Like, it's like we're driving to high school practice. That's, like, the best part, I think. And that time that, you know, the pre-talk, you know, the pre-practice talks, like, driving over and the post-practice talks are funny, you know, like, especially with, like, the veteran guys, you know, like, they're bitching a lot, like, how old they are and shit like that. Those talks are just hilarious. And it was funny, like, the first time I was here, the first two rides, I didn't know anyone when I was first signed here. I was, like, 2017 of December. And Jordy Nelson drove me to my first practice, and then Clay Matthews my second. I'm in the trunk of their Suburbans, and they don't even know my name.
Where's Jordy at? He's in the middle of Kansas right now playing softball. He is dominating softball leagues right now in Kansas. How's it been playing in front of next to no people? I mean, Lambeau is a notoriously awesome place. I've only gotten to play up there a couple times, but it gets going. And then, obviously, you guys only let, like, 200 people in, I think 250 people in. Has there been any noticeable difference? Because on Sunday night in Buffalo, when Buffalo was playing, it's obviously the Pittsburgh Steelers, just talked about it for 2 days ad nauseum. But whenever they were playing and they didn't have the TV sound on, we heard, I think, what the stadium normally sounds like. And that was tough. It was tough to watch as a fan or whatever. But as a player, I would assume a lot of that hype has to come from the sidelines, self-hype, anything like that. Yep. Has there been any noticeable difference for you?
The game is definitely, like, slower because you don't get that, like, adrenaline rush as much from, like, the fans, which is, like, good and bad because you can just, like, think way more clear. There's not, like, you know, I guess distraction in that way. But also, like, when you score and make a big play, like, you're kind of just screaming with yourself or getting hyped with yourself half the time because there's, like, no one to, you know, celebrate with or get going. So that was like the most awkward part, is like making plays and like scoring a touchdown, like looking into the stands, like,
I did it. Me and all my friends.
Yeah.
Me and all my friends.
Believe me, because no one can see it.
Hey, tell us about the Gold Zone, man. What a place. Has Michael Myers called the Green Bay Packers yet after Aaron Rodgers made a bird call last week for Michael Myers to end up at Green Bay sometime?
Dude, the Gold Zone is like, that's like top like three most. Like, we have some good meetings throughout the week, but like the Gold Zone, like put together, like Coach Hackett is like so extra about it that it like it's unreal. Like, he'll come in a gold hat, gold chain, gold like hat, jacket, chain, whatever, like sunglasses, making videos of like other, just giving random people the outfits in the gym and making them like yell and stuff. Like, it's so funny, but we're all bought into that. And I think like every year, just like having like a touchdown like motto is like good, but I think the Gold Zone is just like locked in.
Oh, man. Connor, go ahead.
Yeah, Bob, I saw that when you went undrafted, the Lions picked you up and then released you. Does it give you extra motivation, you know, on Sunday when you're going in to play them? And is that why you forearm shivered an entire defensive line on one play?
What a block, dude. What a shot.
I do get that question a lot. And, like, I used to, like, think that because, like, I thought that was the way to think. Like, yeah, like,
yeah,
finger to Detroit, like, whatever. But at the same time, like, you know, it is what it is. They got to live with that too, and I live with that as a, you know, motivational piece. So I'm cool with that.
What's today's meditation about? What are we talking about? What's so today?
After this, I got yoga meditation after you guys. I don't know. Maybe just, you know, maybe getting grounded. You know, maybe just having a good week. There you go.
What's this one? This one's called the Hadouken, right? You know what it's called?
I might be some type of warrior.
Oh,
You could make one.
Nah, dude, I can't even touch my fucking toes, Big Bob. I can't even get there. I wish I did.
Bro. What? You know, you're not flexible anymore?
Anymore. I never was, dude. I used to fail the presidential fitness test because I couldn't touch my fucking toes. I don't know if you remember that way back in the day. Just can't do it, dude. Just can't. So you'll do full yoga, right? Yeah, you got to slide that thing. Yeah, I got negative 10. Yeah, I used to try to. I couldn't shoot it far enough. Need WD-40.
Teacher, bro. I know all those.
So do you do yoga at the house? No, right?
I have a yoga instructor. She does my meditation, yoga, and massages.
Okay, so meditation, how long are we doing it for, and how does it work?
Probably like 20, 30 minutes, and you kind of just lay on the ground and black out. That's like the whole point, is just to kind of like,
oh, hell yeah.
I could do that.
And just like, you know, not be like, you know, you stress, like your anxiety's high or like you're too low on yourself. You kind of just want to ride the flow state.
God. I do that. I don't meditate, though. I hit this water pipe we have, and I just go right into this flow state. Bob, I'm just in the flow state. What do you got, Dix?
Stay here?
Yeah, right here. All right, cool. I've been here for a long time. What do you got, Dix?
Last year with Jimmy Graham, did he teach you how to fly a plane at all?
He did. I was definitely up in a plane with him and definitely flying the plane, and that was wild. It was crazy. Like, I was literally sitting there, like, you know, like, turning the plane, like 180 and going back the other way. And I'm like, I felt like Grand Theft Auto. Like, it was like a, both, you know, him, he could, you know, take the wheel whenever, and I could. It was like a full bar across, and, yeah, I was flying the plane. Wild.
Well, let's talk about, that is wild, by the way. Congrats on landing that thing, I guess, because I was on a plane not too long ago. Some bitch land. I had to make an emergency landing. Happy you weren't flying it, even though I would have had trust, though, Big Bob. Let's talk about Big Dog, because Aaron talked about Mercedes a little bit, and I think it gained a lot of traction because I don't think a lot of people knew the amount of love that everybody has for Mercedes on that team. What is it about him? You're in the same room as him. What is, like, kind of, you know, what have you learned from him?
Everything, really. I was just about to, like, think for a second, but, like, I can't, like, what the information that he's given me and, like, the confidence, the maturity, like, the past 3 years with him, like, I feel like I've, like, matured, like, 10 years. Like, he is such a great dude, such positive energy, so real, so authentic. And he's another one of those guys like Aaron who understands, like, where I want to be at and where I'm at currently and just, like, not letting me, like, ever, like, slip and just, like, be under, like, what I'm there to do.
Man. Bob, I'm excited to watch you continue to ascend, pal. Congratulations on all this success. Keep winning. Ty Schmidt's an owner of the Green Bay Packers. You know what I mean? So he's,
go get him, Bob.
He's pretty jacked up about I didn't hear what you said because your thing cut out, but I'm sure it was great. Know that. Ladies and gentlemen, Big Bob Tiny. Ladies and gentlemen, the only and first employee of Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson.
I'm the Kmart version of Adam Schefter.
No,
Chuck, say it ain't so.
Don't say that.
Come on.
That's a good way to start that.
Come on, I just had to get it.
Chuck, you didn't deserve that. Okay, you didn't deserve that from you. Okay, that was a little ricochet Walmart, shot from yourself. Bro. At least.
Look, how much of the Joel Osteen PPE money did the Pat McAfee show get? I'm waiting for you to pop up on that list.
Yeah, so, hey, by the way, if we want to have a pretty serious conversation here, we can actually have this. Whenever this popped up, we did qualify for it, right?
Yes.
And real conversations were had between myself and a kid who's been my best friend since kindergarten, who's our CFO Phil. And, you know, Phil's job is to kind of do other thing. And I said, you know, we don't need it. We should not take it. We should, you know, let other people have it. And also, I think if we take that, you know, there's a chance that somebody else won't get. Literal conversation that I had with Phil, okay? I was on some vitamins, and we just moved on. We just moved on from it. Act like it never happened. Keep it moving. How you doing? And now it's coming out. Every single company that took it, people are finding out about. Companies didn't get it. And CFO Phil says, like, hey, listen, I don't know how your brain operates, but fucking good call on that. I feel like, because we didn't need it. You know, it just feels like if you don't need it, you shouldn't take it. That's kind of the old school rule. But Joel Osteen, I mean, he's got a fucking stadium he's got to take care of and to continue to build on. You know, $4.4 million renovation, pretty good for a stadium if you're Joel Osteen. You know what I mean? He needed that. God bless you. God damn it.
Listen, Pat, you left enough money out there for Tom Brady, the TB12 loan.
Oh, yeah.
The TB12 got.
I know. And then you start going through all the companies that are coming out, and it's
Lakers.
Like, Lakers. I believe they took like 17 million.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is wild. Yeah, they gave it back. Sure, yeah. Sure. Good people there.
Yahoo.
Crazy man.
Yahoo, as you do know, is the Walmart version of. No, I'm not saying.
Of course.
Charles, where the hell have you been? You. I feel like you don't cover the NFL whenever the NFL is happening. What the hell is going on? Are you just hanging out?
I do. I'm just terrible at the Twitters. I get yelled at about this a lot, about not tweeting out my stuff enough.
Well, so what are we reporting on? What's the big news? We just talked about there. Drew Locke had the highest passer rating in Denver of the NFL this past week. Who knows what's going to happen next year, though? Are they completely blowing that place up? Vic Fangio gone, Drew Locke gone, John Elway gone? Ooh. Let's start there because that's where our conversation was, and then we'll move on from there.
I mean, I'd say that Vic is probably coaching for his job. You know, there's a select few guys right now that I think are coaching for their jobs. I think Vic's one of them. I think Doug Peterson in Philadelphia is one of them. I think Jalen, you know, what's going on with Jalen Hurts has helped Doug Peterson if he can continue that throughout the rest of the season. I think Matt Nagy in Chicago. But, you know, I think Locke is – the thing is about Locke, they're not going to be – I think their draft position isn't going to be high enough to get in play for, say, that second quarterback who comes off the board. So then I think if you're Denver, if Locke's not the guy, there are going to be – look, Sam Darnold, I think – here's the interesting thing about Darnold. I think in that draft, had they not – had Darnold gotten to them at five, you know, that was their – I think absolutely they take Sam Darnold there. Well, Sam Darnold's going to be a guy that you can probably get for a second – you know, round pick right now. I think they would, you know, the Jets would snap that up if they could get that, probably a second and maybe another late pick. So Darnold's the guy who's going to be out there. I think if this continues with Hurts and Elway is maniacal, which he can be at times, Carson Wentz, you know, depending on how they feel about his evaluation, they do have the cap space to acquire Carson Wentz. And basically the remaining 4 years of Wentz's deal, if a team were to acquire him, you can you're really going to pay him for 2021 and 2022, so it'd be sort of a 2-year tryout.
I like
there's
that.
There's going to be some guys available.
Let's send Carson Wentz to Denver.
Yeah.
I like that. I like Carson Wentz to Denver because all anybody's saying is it to Indy because God was with him and Frank Reich together in Philadelphia. That's what Moose said this weekend, that Carson was missing Frank Reich because of their shared love of the Lord, which, by the way, whatever ties you together makes you play good is good. But maybe they'll find the Lord in Denver too, or Pittsburgh, or anywhere else. Thank God I don't want to pick up that contract in Indianapolis, but maybe Chris Bauer does. Who knows? He's smarter than I am. Let's talk about some other quarterbacks other than Carson Wentz, Drew Lock. Matt Ryan's owed like $100 million after this season, okay?
Yeah.
That's a massive contract. I assume they're going to have a new head coach, new GM. Maybe Raheem gets the gig. Who knows? But that's not something anybody's going to want. Are you hearing that anybody in the NFL is like, yeah, we'll take Matt Ryan in that $100 million? How are they going to get off of that? There's no way they can down in Atlanta, huh?
No, I think the age is prohibitive. And you know, the teams, the guys who I think would be really interested in him just aren't in a position to get him. You know, so, like, I think, if money wasn't a factor, would Kyle Shanahan be interested in Matt Ryan? Hell yeah. You know, like, Kyle's definitely going to look every single year until he's certain he's got the right quarterback. He's going to look to see if he can upgrade. You know, Jimmy G's not safe in San Francisco. But I think, look, at Atlanta, it's going to be the incoming coach.
Wait
a
minute. Whoa, okay. Jimmy G's not safe in San Fran?
No.
He's gone, huh?
I don't think he's gone, but I think that Kyle, the way Kyle approaches that quarterback position, even after they signed Jimmy G to that deal, Kyle has always kept an open mind of, like, if you can upgrade at the position and it doesn't kill you from a asset standpoint or a salary cap standpoint or whatever, you always, unless you have a top 2, 3, 4 quarterback in the league, you need to always be looking at if there's an opportunity to upgrade at the position, you do it. And part of that is Kyle keeping pressure on Jimmy. And I, you know, this has been talked about, but, like, even after they acquired Jimmy, there were still people in the NFL close to Kyle who were like, I think if he could get Kirk Cousins right now, he likes Kirk more than he liked Jimmy.
Hey, Kyle Shanahan's a savage, huh?
Yeah,
hey, listen, we just gave you $80 million, but don't get too fucking comfortable. We can get you out of here, no problem at all. That's why. What are some other big offseason moves you see happening? Because the salary cap's going down, right? No crowds. Right. Some places, Cleveland had a lot more than most places. Mm-hmm. Buffalo's got absolutely zero people in the crowd. And whoever decided not to use the crowd noise on television cast, which was it was terrible to watch until the second half, and then they had bad time. But the salary cap is going down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's going to be some big names cut, I believe. Is that a good guesstimation?
So the league is going to work really hard with the union to try and see if they can keep it flat this year. Like, it now, the drawback was supposed to happen. I mean, there was sort of this agreement that there's likely going to be a salary cap drawback. But you have a number of owners who are sitting there looking at their salary cap situation saying, we'd rather not cut a bunch of guys, like, to get us right. And you know, and they would like to be active in free agency, because at this point, free agency is going to be pretty dead. You see teams that are accruing. Like, for example, Cleveland's a really good example. Cleveland has spent time sort of accruing money, knowing that it's going to be really active in free agency. There's a handful of teams. The Patriots have been doing that. I think, you know, Stephon Gilmore is the guy who probably is going to get cut loose.
No.
I think the Patriots are probably going to take that $7 million hit, and he's a guy who will hit the open market. There's going to be obviously interest in him. There's going to be, look, Stafford's going to be a quarterback decision coming in. Matt Ryan, as we talked about, if they could move him, very prohibitive. But I think there's a decision there about the future of Matt Ryan. I think what's going to be interesting is you're going to see, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with some of the coaching moves, because there could be as many as like eight or nine jobs open.
Yeah, that's a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
And GM roles too, by the way. There's GM roles open, there's head coaching jobs. And I assume that in 2020, because of how fucked everything was, it was going to be a free pass for everybody. But instead, I think a lot of organizations learn, like, who stinks and who doesn't, because they're all kind of on the same playing field. Like, before we get to the head coach and GMs, can I revisit the salary cap staying flat?
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know that the NFL lawyers are going to out-lawyer the NFLPA lawyers. Like, that's going to happen. So if it stays flat, That means they're robbing Peter to pay Paul at some point.
Yes.
How will that end up? Because the players will end up getting fucked by that somehow. If it's not this year, it'll be in the future. How's that end up happening, you think?
That's exactly it. I mean, like you said, I mean, the money comes from somewhere. So obviously it would be taken from future years. So the way that this is going to be structured, there is the ability to take some money out of some future years and move it up to try and soften the blow. Because I think, look, the problem is the union is sitting there and they're looking at the situation. They're going, look, we don't want a bunch of guys to get cut and then have sort of a dead fish free agency period, because that doesn't really help anybody either. You end up with a bunch of guys who are on 1 year deals who would be signing long term contracts, or you get teams that try to be creative with putting money later in deals. But if that money's not going to be guaranteed, all that does is expose players and put them into bad situations contractually. So this is that rare instance where coming into this year, both the union and the NFL knew they were both screwed. Like, no matter what, everybody was going to take a bite out of a shit sandwich. And so they're sitting there.
South Harmon Institute of Technology, dude. Everybody's getting it. But this is going to end up being bad for the players. It's going to end up being bad. Somehow, some way, the NFL is going to – now, granted, bad for the players. Guys are still going to get money. But there will be something that will come out in the agreement between the NFLPA and the NFL about keeping the salary cap flat, about how 15 years from now, the owners somehow concocted a way to cut the salary cap. There will be something that will happen. There's always something in those
– here's the really interesting thing that's going on right now. Not a lot of people are really talking about this.
Because you won't tweet. Because you won't fucking tweet.
Because I won't tweet, right? I did write a story about this. I think it's actually up today.
Where?
It's on Kmart.com.
Oh, Yahoo! Stop being so hard on yourself, Charles. Yahoo's been around a long time. It's a staple of this fucking internet that we have here.
I have learned to be self-deprecating in my role, okay? That's the best way to go, right?
Yeah, but you wrote about it today at Yahoo. We'll read about it. What is nobody talking about?
Okay, so when Roger Goodell sends out this memo in October and he tells, you know, teams, stop screwing around, pay attention, follow the COVID protocols, or we're going to, you know, you're going to forfeit games, we're going to strip draft picks, here's all the stuff we're going to do to you. At that point, it's like, wow, he pulled the bazooka out pretty early in terms of like telling teams, we're going to hammer the hell out of you. And I think now we're starting to see why. And it's because the Ravens showed us, the Ravens had a prime sick spot. The Ravens and Steelers had a prime sick spot on Thanksgiving, right? Huge money advertising for NBC. Fantastic. You know, everybody's geared up. They sold all this advertising, made a ton of money off of it. All of a sudden that gets moved to a Wednesday in like the middle of the day, the most ridiculous time slot ever. So what ended up happening was NBC, when that slot got moved, the viewership dropped 50% from what NBC's Thanksgiving Day slot was the previous year. Well, the problem with that is all the advertisers are sitting here going, we paid all this money for this Thanksgiving slot, and now the game is on a Wednesday afternoon. We got completely screwed here. And so NBC essentially had to have a form of givebacks, where there were certain people that advertised during that game on the Wednesday who didn't pay for their advertising spot. And now you have networks that are sitting there saying, hey, the fluctuation in ratings has caused us to be in a situation we may have to discount some of our advertising or give away some of our advertising as givebacks for NFL games. That's never happened before. That never happens. The NFL is like bulletproof. And all these advertisers were waiting for the NFL season to start because they said, look, we got killed on the NBA. We got killed on the NHL. But the NFL's ratings are bulletproof. Well, it's fluctuated so much during COVID and the election season that it's wreaked some havoc on some of these networks with their advertisers. Well, guess what? The new TV deals aren't done yet. They're not done yet. And you'd be crazy to think that these networks aren't going to remember, particularly when there's a 7% drop in viewership rating this year across the board in terms of the cable providers and the digital providers for the NFL. The TV networks are going to remember this. And so that's going to bear out, I think, in the television contract negotiations, which screws the players in the long term because that's where all the money comes
Chuck, from. Let me tell you about something here, though. The anybody ever call you Chuck?
Yes.
Big Chuck.
not in a while, but you're good.
Chuck's a good name. I've been pretty pumped up about Chuck. Charles also incredibly sophisticated. If I was a writer at one of the oldest institutions on the internet, I would also like Charles. We just pulled up your article, by the way. I don't know if you saw that. They said NBC could not put that game on at night because they had to recycle a previous year's tree celebration would get like 20 some million. I forget what it was. I forget the number they said. But didn't the Wednesday afternoon football, the WAF, did it not get 14.9 million or something like that, or 15 million?
It did a big number for the slot. And now there was a method to that for NBC because they said, look, we're kind of getting both. We're getting an awesome, this tree lighting ceremony is going to get a great number. And now we kind of have this middle of the day where we get a pretty big number too.
Yeah.
So that's really part of why they did it. But still, the advertisers were pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, look, we expected this massive 30 million, you know, viewership audience that had happened in the previous year for you. On your Thanksgiving Day game, and so that's what we paid for. So they wanted some money back, or they wanted something in response to that. So well, it's
a lot of the people running
way that COVID's wreaking havoc.
A lot of people running those advertising slots are a bunch of fucking idiots. Anyways. Yeah. We have to deal with them on a regular basis. They are always looking for free reads. Mm-hmm. Those people. What do you got, Connor?
Yeah, Charles. Why is Jim Harbaugh the next head coach of the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, why is he even in the NFL conversation?
Woody Johnson, you know, I mean, the Jets, Woody Johnson had such an infatuation with him prior to him going to Michigan. And while he was at Michigan in the early years that, you know, Joe Douglas, having worked with John Harbaugh in Baltimore, Woody coming back into the fold from his ambassadorship, from obviously the political change. And, you know, so the idea is, well, OK, Woody's factoring in here, but there are people at Michigan that are really driving this, to be honest with you. Like, people at Michigan are like, the Jets are going to come get Jim. Like, they really, really, people at Michigan, don't kid yourself, really want someone to come get Jim and take them off their hands. And I think they want Iowa State Matt Campbell. And so a lot of this is driven.
That's why I always laugh
when I see all the headlines about Jim, because a lot of it's being driven inside of Michigan, not from the NFL level. And by the way, about Jim, I will say this. Everyone says, well, the things he was doing with Colin Kaepernick at the time, Greg Roman was his OC, a lot of that plays into how the NFL looks now. Yeah, it does, but, you know, look at what has happened with Greg Roman in Baltimore. You lose Ronnie Stanley, you lose Marshall Yanda. That offense has run into a little bit of a wall here. And by the way, go back and look at Jim Harbaugh's defenses in San Francisco. And then also tell me what quarterback he's developed at Michigan. Donovan Peoples-Jones came out of Michigan. And he's doing more stuff for Cleveland than I ever saw him do.
Big catch last night. Mm-hmm. Huge. Like a Moss-type catch last night. All right, Chuck. Any news going to break in the next hour or so, you think, that you want to break right here, maybe?
No, there's nothing going on. I'm glad it's an Aaron Rodgers Tuesday, though, because I can tell you this. I have an MVP vote, and I thought for sure, up until about 2 weeks ago, I was like, Mahomes is just going to run away with this. Whoa. This is going to be pretty easy. I'm not going to have to call teams and start asking them to compare players or whatever.
Yeah.
Rodgers has erased that. Like, it is absolutely a two-man race right now. I talked to someone. It's a one-man race.
Do the right thing.
Wait, it's about time. Way to go, Chuck. Way to get on the right side. Hey, Chuck, do not fuck this up.
Come on.
Do not do it, Chuck.
You can't throw it. Three interceptions and win MVP, Chuck. Well, we all know that.
Aaron threw two. There,
wasn't yeah, two's fine. Two's fine.
Everybody's going to have a bad game every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Aaron, so how'd you get this MVP vote? How long has it been? How long have you had the MVP vote?
A couple years.
Do you got to write it in and mail it in? Is it an email? What is it?
No, it's email. It's 50 members. So it's like some former players like Aikman, Lofton.
Whoa.
So there's a number of like former players and then certain media members who have covered the league for a long time, you know, have been asked to bring in, you know, I got brought into the fold a couple of years ago. So
how have you guys never gave a vote to Russell Wilson?
Yeah. Okay. Oh God. I'm so glad you brought this up.
Okay. Chuck, because you were getting brought up in the opening 4 or 5 weeks. It was like this guy, here's a guy that never got an MVP vote. It was like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that all 50 of you guys hated Russell Wilson. That's crazy.
Okay, that is not. Now, this is the problem with context, okay? I hear people saying this, and I'm like, these are people who have never voted. These are people who never
We all registered to vote, okay? Because Duck Hodges told us to do so in a social media video. But what is the context of that? How does that work?
You guys are all heroes. I got your medals in the mail. Okay. okay, so Russell Wilson, his 3 years that were his best shots at winning MVP. Cam Newton won. One of the greatest quarterback seasons in the history of the NFL, 2015, right? Pat Mahomes was the other, the next season where Russell really had a shot to win it. Pat Mahomes threw 50 touchdown passes, one of the greatest quarterback seasons in the history of the NFL, and Lamar Jackson last year. So literally, Russell's three best years in terms of his candidacy ran into Cam Newton, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson putting up three of the greatest quarterback seasons the NFL's ever seen in history. That's why Russell Wilson, he was a strong number two candidate last year.
Hey, you're not wrong, number two.
No.
Oh, you're not wrong, number two. People drink Powerade still.
Yeah.
Hey, people go to Kmart. Come on. So is that at the end of the season? Do you have a, like, is there a certain window you're allowed to put the vote in?
Yeah. So you're not allowed to cast your vote before the season officially ends. And then once the season officially ends, you have, there's a window of time. And I think it's like 3 days or 5 days where you have to come up with, you know, your ballot at that point. So a lot of us, so I'll give you an example, like what I had to do last year. I had some difficulty parsing out Josh Jacobs versus Kyler Murray for offensive rookie of the year last year. So what I did was I called common opponents. So I talked to Atlanta Falcons. I said, you prepared for both of these guys. They're really close on my ballot. Lay it out for me. Which guy's better? Give me your best pitch here. Who is harder to prepare for defensively? You know, who impacted the game? Went through that. I think the Jets were another team I called because they were a common opponent of those two. You end up doing that with some of these guys when they're that close. And I really honestly believe Mahomes and Rodgers are going to be so close, you're going to have to reach out to a number of people across the league and just ask them, explain to me why
Charles,
this guy deserves the nod over someone else.
These people care enough to tell you?
Yes. Yeah, they really do. They do. They care. They.
None of my friends that are in coaching, if you called them and you said, hey, lay out why this guy's better. I don't fuck. That's your job. That's not my job.
No, they care. I mean, I mean, it depends. You know, there are some people who don't care. Some people are in the thick of their season, don't want to talk about it. But a lot of people will take the time to
parse out
candidates for you. And interestingly enough, you know, I'll give you a guy who really does care, although he's not on my list, but I know other people lean on him for Hall of Fame. And then also some of the other things that they vote for. Bill Belichick's a guy who really
he cares, huh?
Wants people to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, he wants people to use information and you know, not just pull it out of their ass. And so there are guys. Jerry Jones is another guy. Any Hall of Fame consideration, Jerry Jones will spend a lot of time, particularly if it's someone in an era that he was really close to, he'll spend time talking to you and explaining why a guy deserves it.
Well, good luck with your vote. We're pulling for you. We're happy you registered
to vote,
to vote, like Duck Hodges said. And you need to tweet more because your brain's a good one. We need to see you over there. Or we just need to make Yahoo.com the sports section our go-to spot every single morning. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Robinson.
Yeah! Let's go,
Chuck. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Can't thank you enough for choosing to listen to the show. Thanks to all the guests. Thanks to the boys. Thanks to all of you. Once again, if you like this show, please be a friend and tell a friend. A little guerrilla marketing.
Yeah.
And that's guerrilla with a U-E.
Mm-hmm.
Boots on a grind.
That's right.
And maybe one day we'll become a guerrilla with an O.
Ooh.
Of a show.
Well, kind of already are, but, you know.
We are an okay-sized show. It's pretty awesome.
It's not bad.
There's no reason for people to be listening to our show the way they do. And the fact that you do, we are forever thankful. Hashtag end of pod squad. Let's do another giveaway.
Yep, sounds good.
We gave away, like, I think $10,000 last time we did this. Mm-hmm. We'll do that again. Send a tweet, hashtag end of pod squad, with a picture of where you're listening. Ty will go through and randomly select. So it's not like if your photo is better than somebody else, you're going to win. It'll be a random selection.
Right.
We'll give away another $10,000 because you stick around to the end of the show, which is incredible. I mean, I can't thank you enough for being this dedicated to the show. Hashtag end of pod squad. Take a picture of what you're listening, where you're listening, and you'll be entered in to randomly win some of the $10,000 that Ty Schmidt will be picking.
Mm-hmm. Be patient, because you know a lot of people enter these things, and it does take a little time to. And then Venmo, you can only send X amount of cash, you know, so it is a little bit of a process. But if you get selected, you will get part of your money.
Well, and by the way, we gave away $125,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out Venmo does not make it easy to give away money.
No, it's like $2,000 a week, I think.
Thought sharing money was what Venmo was all about.
It is not.
They're about sharing limited amounts of
money. Yeah, hey, you want to pay this person back for getting your McDonald's? Go ahead.
Go ahead. Here's $2.50.
Yeah.
Here's $9 maybe if it was a good order.
Mm-hmm.
Good Arby's order too. Maybe $15. Do what you got to do. But if you want to give out $125,000, turns out it takes a little bit of a time. I think we're all the way through that though.
Mm-hmm.
So this $10,000 should be able to go, but it does. We're only allowed to give out a certain amount of money each week.
Right.
We're not happy about it.
No, I mean, it's something they should look at and probably change, but hey, we don't control that.
Why don't they ever do any self-eval?
I don't know.
Big corporate greedy cat. Yeah. What's it called?
Greedy fat cats.
Corporate greedy fat cats.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
They got everybody's money on there. They don't give a fuck.
No.
So what we're saying is
bank information too.
Yeah, they won't do any of that. So what we're saying is if you win, please just have a little bit of patience.
Yeah.
We're trying.
You'll get it.
It's a holiday season. We want to give away as much as possible because we feel incredibly lucky that you all listen to the show and, you know, buy our merch and all that stuff, which I think is still on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot to turn that off.
Yeah.
If you're buying now, there's no chance you're getting it by Christmas.
No, but what you can do is get something now and then just print it out and give it to the person on Christmas. And it's like, hey, when it gets here, there's your present.
I owe you.
I owe you.
That's as good as cash. Yeah. That's as good as the thing. Because with this merch business, what we have learned, because people bought so much shit for our Big Sale Friday sale, turns out with the quarantine happening, a lot of things get locked down.
Yeah.
And turns out it has affected the merch business.
It has.
But we appreciate all of you. Try to give back as much as possible, as much as we're allowed to do. So hashtag Antipod Squad, we want it to be you. Ty Schmidt, please play some independent music. We'll be back tomorrow. Big guest tomorrow.
Huge guest tomorrow.
Like, Big, do you even want to say it? Nah.
Nah, I won't spoil it, but I mean, if you watch this show, you know Wednesdays. I mean, we bring it.
Big. Big day Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the show. Cheers, have a good one. Ty, please play some independent music.